Hi everyone and welcome to D Up Gaming Podcast episode 6. I am Jeff and this is my friend and co-host Jesse.
Hi.
We have some heavy stuff this week, but let's serious. Go into start a little lighthearted. Okay. What are you working on this week? What are you playing games? This week? Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just finishing up Psychonauts. Yes. And I started playing Wolfenstein New Order. So that's like the first one on PlayStation 4.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not the newest one.
Yeah, like, yeah. Will you play the newest one on the Switch?
Will I? Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, but maybe by the time I get around to it, it might be cheaper. Yeah. Get it on Switch. Check it out.
Yeah. Sorry, what were you saying before I cut you off?
Oh, that I started playing Wolfenstein New Order.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying it so far. Yeah. Yeah, it's really like old school in a sense that, like, you know, you don't have regenerative health.
Right. Yeah, I heard about that.
You gotta actually pick up health and ammo. Yeah. And, I guess they really changed it compared to the second one, because I've heard in the second one it's really hard, but on this one I'm playing it on the hardest difficulty and it's not that hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
All right. So, let's jump into it.
Okay.
Obviously, on February 14th of this year,
yes,
there was a tragic incident in Parkland, Florida, at Stoneman Douglas High School. The shooting, I believe, 16, 17 dead.
Yeah, I think it was like 17.
Yeah. That's what I heard. So, in the wake of that, Rhode Island representative Robert Nardo Lillo III introduced a new legislation that required games with ESRB rating mature or higher to be taxed an extra 10%. Also, around the same time, U.S. President Donald Trump and Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin both blamed, obviously, violent video games for the violent tendencies of the young generation. Despite that, in 2013, over 230 scholars wrote to the APA, American Psychological Association, expressing concerns that APA should no longer make statements that link video games to societal aggression. In 2017, APA themselves released a policy statement requesting that politicians stop making these claims that, you know, violent video games are making kids a little crazy or, you know, aggressive, or they have violent tendencies and stuff like that.
Or desensitized, maybe. I don't know.
That's the wording that they use. Matt Bevin used is, you know, the culture of death is celebrated by the younger generation, by the culture at large. There's nothing preventing the child from playing these violent video games. Because as far as my research went,
yes,
in the U.S., because of the free speech amendment, they're not stopping. They can't stop these kids from buying these mature games.
Yeah. Especially with the digital age, too.
Right. I mean, if you got the, you know, you get the points.
Yeah. That you buy with your own money.
You buy your own money.
You can say whatever age you want. And then by then, there's no one like it. Because if you go to a store, there might be a person that says, "Oh, I can't sell you this game."
Right, and that would be up to this. That would be up to the company.
Yeah,
up to the corporation. It's not even up to
the government. It's not a law or anything.
Yeah, it's not a bylaw or anything. Yeah. It's straight up just whether the company wants to make the money off the kids or not.
Right.
Now in Canada, I believe certain provinces actually have laws against that.
Oh, okay.
But like you said, if the kid bought some PSN points, bought it online, what are you going to do about it, right?
Yeah. You see, there are a lot of things, too. Not just violent stuff, like sexual stuff as well.
Yes. I mean
that's the age we live in. Information and access, and it's everywhere. Because everybody has a phone, too. Like, can you put parent block on your phone?
Well, you probably could, but...
Well,
I'm sure they got ways around it already. Yeah.
YouTube videos.
There's an app for that. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, YouTube videos to tell you how to get it.
Yeah.
That simple.
So, your thoughts on, before we jump into the tax, that the extra 10%.
Yes.
I personally don't believe that violent games turn a kid crazy.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, yeah, every now and then, you know, you have a person who shot up a school and they go home and they see a GTA. Uh-huh. Right? You see that and it's like, oh, it's just so easy to blame that. But they never thought about what if it's the other way around? What if this kid has violent tendencies and therefore he's attracted or she's attracted to GTA?
Like with anything, really.
Right.
I think if it's part of your personality, that's what's going to come out, right? You're going to gravitate towards violent video games, violent movies, violent books, violent music. That's your interest if you're kind of that person, I think. I don't think, like, if you're...
I don't think any...
say, a nun or whatever. If we expose you that for a few months or so, or maybe for a year.
Yeah.
Are you suddenly going to become a violent person? You probably reject it because that's your nature. You're not interested into that type of stuff.
Right.
That's what I feel. I don't know.
Yeah, same thing. Right? We're not experts or anything. Yeah. It's just like, if...
Because I think if it really was a unwilling case, you'd see a lot more cases because violent video games sell. It's a how many billion dollar industry?
Right.
Trillion dollar at this
game point. That sold the most yearly is Call of Duty, shooting people in the face. And I mean,
Grand Theft Auto, like highest selling game of all time, I think. Like 50 it's
probably
million
up there if it's not.
Yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah. Like, and we see what?
Yeah.
How many? I mean, there's a lot of shootings. We don't want to, you know.
Let's say.
We're not downplaying the number of shootings every year. Right. We're just saying, with that logic, we would see even more.
I think so.
We would be seeing
if it really was a cause and effect.
Exactly, right. And I've worked in retail shops where I told these parents, like,
this is
what's involved. And they're like, yeah, no, he gets it. And, you know, they just blow it out.
Well, because it's easy to blame that one thing, right?
Yes,
how complicated it is to probably raise your child or to see in your child that this is their type of behavior and to do something about it. Yeah. Maybe get help, like counseling or something like that. Or I don't know.
And I'm not a parent. I'm not going to teach anyone how to parent their kid.
How to parent their kids.
But, you know, if your kid is playing GTA in your house.
A lot of things are never that simple, I think.
Yeah, if your kid is playing GTA in your house and say you don't do anything about it, or worse, you don't know about it. I mean, like, you know, you're part of the problem also. That's how I feel. I've had people say, look, but he's playing in his room. Then here's a genius idea. Don't put a TV in his room.
I guess so. Yeah.
Well, they open a door and you see clips on YouTube, mom bursting in the door. What did you say? Don't let him lock himself inside the room. Don't let him isolate himself and start, you know.
That's part of it too, right? Kind of, if you're isolating and you have to kind of navigate or think about what you're doing or what's happening when you're playing these violent video games and you're not, there's no one there to bounce it off. It's like, oh, what did I just see? What? Is this wrong? Is this right? How should I feel about this? You're just in your own room doing your own thing. I mean, isolation has never been really a good case for a person's psyche in any case. I think.
Okay. So let's go back to the extra 10% tax. Robert Nardo Lillo III introduced that these games,
Nardo Lillo.
I might still be butchering, but whatever. Suggested that these games with the ESRB rating M and above, mature and above, should be taxed an extra 10%. And That extra money will be used to fund counseling and mental health programs in schools. Again, claiming that these things are messing with the children's heads.
I mean,
obviously, you have the gaming industry going yes. to hell.
Yeah, because, right? I mean, that's not going to be in their best interest to make violent video games. I don't know if is that a deterrent? Because with a thing like that, politically, I always wonder. Mm-hmm. Well, he says that the taxes are actually going toward something, but
right.
You wonder if there's ulterior motive sometimes. Does he really believe in his cause, or is it just a way to make money? Not saying that's what he's doing, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. This is a thought.
And
I don't know. I wouldn't say I'm like too against this in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sucks for everyone who just buys them and doesn't have, you know, doesn't do anything about these. He just plays them, enjoys them like any other entertainment. I feel like if you're going to do this, you have to do it across the board, not just video games.
Right. Movies.
What else? Music, books.
Yeah.
But in that sense, are you taxing free speech? Like, basically? Like, well, if you say a certain thing, then you're getting taxed. If you say another thing, then you're
We're
not.
We're not saying you can't say it.
Yeah, you're not saying you can't say it, but... You gotta pay. Yeah. That's a slippery slope.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, it's a...
At what point?
Yeah.
Who decides? Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, how do you think it will affect sales then? To be honest, I don't think it will.
The extra
10%, what is it? $59.99 US dollars per game.
For instance, will I buy...
An extra $6.
Say, Last of Us
right.
over Uncharted, because Uncharted's rated T, right? Mm-hmm. If that costs an extra 10%, yeah, I don't like it at all. But I don't think think it'd be that much of an deterrent.
Yeah, if you are,
I don't know.
If you're a fan of Red Dead Redemption,
yeah.
If you're looking forward to Red Dead GTA Redemption. 6.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to pick something else because
right,
of the extra 10%.
So, yeah, so I guess it's nice for the state to get some money to put towards a school.
Yeah, because I can't say that it's wrong for what they're using it with.
Yes.
But I just feel like you should put 10% on every game then.
Right.
And then, you can't. If you put it on every game, you got to put it on every form of entertainment. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I just don't.
Why don't you just start taxing like consoles? And
I don't like being singled out. That's getting singled out is not
good. Just the
in general,
the entertainment that we love is just all of a sudden. And part of some of the greatest games have been mature games.
Yeah.
I mean, look at GTA 5, which you said like one of the best selling games of all time. Call of Duty, mature game.
Yeah.
Great best-selling every year.
Every year.
And while I wouldn't go and say those are the greatest games, Call of Duty, I definitely wouldn't say the greatest games.
Big sellers,
big sellers. And
in the
you got to wonder if he's looking at that and like, that's some...
Yeah.
It's just like, Call of Duty, that's a lot of money. 10% of that.
Motives in the sense. Yeah. Like, well, now we have enough to fund... Let's. What are we gonna do with this extra money? I don't know.
Yeah. We're not gonna get into politics here. It just feels a little.
Money grabbing.
Yeah. Next is another serious topic. Net neutrality.
Yes.
It's unfortunately gonna be coming to an end. In United States, effective April 23rd, 2018. The Attorney General of New York is set to file some lawsuits against the FCC over this repeal.
Okay.
Other states are also expected to do the same.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the net neutrality, if you're not so sure what that is it forces internet service providers to treat all content equally.
Yeah.
When that comes to an end, if it comes to an end, ISPs will be able to throttle different websites, force feed you content.
Yeah.
And, you know, throttle and down things they don't want you to see.
So, yeah, charge you.
Right. This is, yeah, possibly. This is consequential because now they might, you're going to start seeing packages for different types of websites and
for a different access
that you want to. For different access, and you're going to have to start paying kind of like you were saying before, too. You're telling me.
Yeah,
before,
like a cable
service. Kind of like a cable service.
Yeah. Right. You pay for the sports package or you pay for the news. Like,
Yes.
So the exact same on the internet. You pay for the sports for, you know, ESPN Sports or Yahoo Sports or whatever. If you want to stream your highlights, you might have to pay. Oh. If you want social media, you have to pay there.
So, so Jassy, what's your reaction to this here?
Not good. I mean, I guess a lot of this is hypothetical. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't necessarily mean that these ISPs are going to be doing these things just to give it another side, but who says they're not?
Yeah,
like
there's a reason why it's
being repealed. Why stop it if you're not going to?
Right, and if you're a big corporation, then there's chances to make an extra buck.
Right,
that's what you're supposed to do as a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So
for your shareholders,
yeah, for your shareholders, that's, you know, you're supposed to try to get every dollar you can. So there's the opportunity for them.
Uh-huh.
I don't see why they wouldn't take it. It sucks for everybody, though.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, what could happen is, say there's like, the different services. Like, you have the PlayStation Network. You have Xbox Live Online. And for PC, like, Steam or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They can set, oh, okay, if you want access to that network at, like, full speed for your downloads, you got to pay a little bit more or just to say, like, all right, now they have caps, but if you go with, say, I'm just saying it might get to this point where Microsoft makes a deal with, say, Comcast.
Yeah.
If you're on Comcast, you can download your Microsoft stuff. But if you have your PlayStation on Comcast, then
they throttle you down or something.
Your thing is going, how many... It's going to take all night, all day.
Yeah, kind of like the PS3 all over again.
Yeah. And that was on their end.
Yeah, that was terrible.
Now you can't blame them. And maybe maybe you say, okay, I'll just switch to instead of Comcast, to Xfinity or whatever. But maybe you live in an area that's your only choice in the first place.
Yes.
So, that could happen.
Yeah, I lived in an area where there's only one internet service provider. Yeah. And it was not fun. Yeah.
You're at their mercy, right?
Basically, yeah. You're paying a premium for some of the basic stuff.
Or even say what could happen now is these internet service providers can decide, oh, we're going to do our own service for games and media where you can have our internet package, but we won't, if you're with us, your internet downloads won't count against our cap normally, but if you use any other service, well, you're under that branch. Yeah. So if you have a limit, say, of 25 gigs.
Oh, man.
Or whatever.
That's like half a...
Yeah.
That's like half a patch.
I mean... Ugh, the possibilities.
I'm thinking about the little guys when I hear about this. Just like...
Yeah, that's just... That's just the big guys. Yeah.
That's just games, right? I'm thinking about like little guys, say someone starting a website, starting a blog.
Yeah.
You don't have the
hookups.
Now you don't have the hookups. These big internet service providers are maybe not throttling your stuff and only their stuff. So it feels like a big, you know, it feels like a rich get richer kind of thing. And it's a little dirty to me.
That is a perfect example because it's kind of funny. I think like when these talks first came about net neutrality, Netflix, when they were just starting off, was a big component. They wanted to make sure there was net neutrality. Now that they're like on top and like one of the biggest users pretty much of the internet, to simplify it, they don't care anymore because they know they're too big to... to lose. Like, if any of these service companies want to get rid of Netflix, they're going to have to deal with so many customers that are going to be pissed. Mm-hmm.
They're coming to them.
Yeah, now. So that now they don't care anymore about net neutrality.
Okay.
That's when at one point they were really big into it. So you already see it there that if you're big enough, then it doesn't hurt. But if you're small, you know?
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. I mean,
yeah. Or like any like sort of small startup.
Yeah.
Like gaming site publisher that wants to like publish on their own. Mm-hmm. They're definitely going to have to play ball with the big boys if they want to, because they can't do it on their own. Maybe.
Yeah. So they are once again at somebody's mercy.
Yeah. At somebody's mercy.
And, yeah, it just doesn't feel good because the internet is just like this wonderful place, you know. Everyone can start a website. Everyone can put in their piece.
As, if you could get in,
you know,
as fast as you possibly can get in, you were good. It wasn't, you can get in, but now if you don't have the right credentials per se, you don't get full access to the internet.
It's almost like an exclusive club now. All of a sudden. And
I'm getting singled out, like I said before, not a good thing.
That would probably affect. Oh, I imagine the MMOs that would get affected.
Yeah.
Imagine online games like Destiny. What else is online only? Well, obviously the MMOs. You know, games like Destiny,
Fortnite,
PUBG, Anthem. They'll be coming up. All these games.
League of Legends.
You know, Lord, League of Legends, yes. Whichever ISP Overwatch. Locks up League of Legends.
Yeah.
That's a big payday right there. It just doesn't feel, you know, feels kind of dirty to me. We have some Half-Life news. Gordon Freeman returns to gaming, kind of. Set to join Final Fantasy XV Windows Edition, which is going to release on Steam on March 6th, 2018. Mm-hmm. There's a demo coming out on February 26th. Yes. The Half-Life pack, which will be free for anyone who buys the game.
Okay.
Up until the end of April, will receive a HEV suit, Freeman's glasses, and the iconic crowbar.
Nice.
Yes. In the single-player story mode, it will be Noctis wearing all the costume, and in the Comrades, which is the multiplayer game mode that they released a while back,
right,
you'll actually be able to play as Freeman himself.
Oh, okay, nice.
Now, as a Half-Life 2 fan, what is this? Are you excited about this? Do you care?
I mean, it's a cool nod.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely knows that you're playing on the PC version.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been on other consoles, but it's at home on PC.
Yeah.
If I was interested in Final Fantasy, I definitely would want to get that version or get that suit. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a weird collaboration to me. In a sense that people who are interested in Half-Life, these are two very different games.
Yes.
So, well, what are they doing? They throw this out there. You can say maybe they're trying to gauge interest, but it's two very different games.
I think they're appeased the people who are into PC games.
Yes.
Who are buying this game on PC. And I think that actually it's going to help them. Because like I said, that is interesting. As a guy who used to be into PC gaming, especially around that time.
Yes.
I loved Half-Life. Yeah. All the Half-Life games, really, that I've played.
You're going to pay full price for Final Fantasy XV for three items?
For three items?
That's what I'm thinking is, you know.
If you haven't played it on console at all, I think you want to be an early adopter because I'm assuming this is only when you buy it now for a limited time.
Until the end of April, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't see anything about it might be, you know, sold or anything separately, but as far as I know, is just it's free until the end of April. Yeah. Maybe they'll sell this as a...
Well, a lot of times with these add-ons or anything, it doesn't hurt. Yeah, I don't think I'm not going to buy Final Fantasy because it has I'm getting free.
Yeah.
So.
It's... well, that's a fan. Does this... It almost feels like they're playing off of nostalgia.
Yeah.
And with no intention of giving you episode 3.
Oh.
that's why I'm not a fan of this. It's just like, what are you doing to your fans? Oh, just teasing? It's just like, hey guys, don't forget about Gordon Freeman. Oh, by the way, you're never getting 3. So just, you know, whack away, guys, whack away.
Like, as a bad tease.
Yeah.
I think it gives him, it keeps him alive in a sense.
He keeps him alive in the minds of gamers.
In the mind of gamers.
You know.
Yeah. Well, it is old. I'm not sure how many gamers in the past, how many years, even know who he is.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Well, the good thing is Half-Life.
That's how long it's been.
When Episode 2 released 11 years ago, October 10th, 2007.
Yeah. Like 11 years ago.
Yeah. And that was episode 2.
Two.
So the other ones
are... The latest one.
Yeah. The latest one. But I mean, when it goes on sale, Half-Life 2 is, you know, does go on for very cheap.
Yep.
And you can almost always see it on the front page. So
it is like a Steam thing. Like, you probably have it. I mean, I have a free copy if you ever want one.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Because I bought it originally, bought the orange box, so I ended up having 2 copies.
We'll close the show with a segment we...
Press X2.
Turok 1 and 2 are coming to the Xbox. Press X2.
Which Xbox?
Oh, Xbox One.
Xbox One. I don't have an Xbox One. But if I had an Xbox One, I actually will press X to try it. I've heard nothing but fun things and great things about this series, and I never got around to it because I never had the... it was on the 64?
Yeah.
Yeah, it started on the 64, and I never got around to that one. So, I remember those crazy Christmas commercials about Turok. So
Cerebral Boar.
Yeah. Soul Calibur revealed 2 characters. Sazalemo and Ivy.
Mm-hmm.
Press X, too. Ivy's back.
Ivy's back. No, it's the other guy who was in 3.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name again?
Sazalemel?
Sazalemel.
I don't know. I'm just.
I just read Ivy. He had the Sith. That's what they call it.
Scythe.
Sith. Oh, yeah. That's Star Wars. Yeah, he had the scythe, and I remember him from 3, and he hasn't been in 1 since.
Oh, yeah.
Ivy's back. Well, so Ivy's been a staple since the beginning. It's almost like just announcing a regular character.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I'm more excited about him coming back. Press X to, yes, sweet, see more characters. More and merrier. Panic Button Studio. They've ported over, like, Doom... Rocket League, and they're going to do Wolfenstein 2 to the Switch. Right. And they say they're working on other games. They're planning on porting on other games from the PS4 and Xbox One over to the Switch.
Yes.
What are your thoughts? Press X2. What would you like to see?
Press X to tweet them all kinds of ideas.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure if they have any relations with any certain publishers.
Mm-hmm. Well, but looks at least Bethesda.
Yeah, they're at least games. I mean, why not Fallout on the Switch?
Oh, Fallout 4, yeah.
Fallout, I don't know if that's a game that you want to play bite-size at a time, but, you know, Fallout would be a fun one. Bethesda, I mean, they've already done Skyrim then, I guess? Is it these guys that did Skyrim? What else is coming up for Bethesda? Jeez. Blank here.
What's called? Evil Within.
Oh.
They've done that.
Absolutely. With the first person mode, that they just did on PS4. Speaking of the Switch,
okay,
Doom on the Switch is getting motion controls in the style of Splatoon, where you can move the tablet around but still use the thumbstick to aim.
Okay.
Press X2.
Try it out.
Did you like the... Because you have Splatoon 2.
Yes. And I've played Doom on PS4. Yeah. Okay.
Do you like that control when you kind of move the tablet around but you still have the thumbstick?
Yeah.
Some people are saying that you can...
I like it for like kind of pinpointing or like kind of making a slight movement without taking it off your thumb in a weird sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to describe.
You gotta try it to...
Yeah. But it's nice to own... You kind of like have major control with your thumbstick, and then you want to get that little slight tune, you just kind of shift or tilt once you get the hang of it.
So it feels good. Really,
it feels good.
Yes, and for precision, from what I've heard as well, is it feels great on Doom. So you do recommend front Doom?
Yeah. I mean, if you can bring that control to a lot of shooters that are on the Switch, it's not that many, but all this talk about loot boxes.
Yeah.
This is what I've heard. All right, more than half of Activision's 2017 revenue was microtransactions. They made $7.16 billion. $4 billion of that was from Call of Duty and Destiny.
Call of Duty?
Call of Duty's got loot boxes now? And this is not including, but they do own part of that company that makes Candy Crush.
Oh, yeah.
They did $2 billion in microtransactions.
Yeah.
Press X to...
Feel sick to... Press X to feel sick in my stomach.
I mean, they're here to stay, people. They're here to stay. They work.
That's why they do it.
Yeah.
That's why they do it, despite everyone saying how they hate them. They hate it.
There's someone there that does
buy them. You're going to boycott them and all that stuff.
I am one of them. I mean, I've bought VC in...
Right.
NBA. I mean, right when it comes out, I've bought in VC to get that head start.
Right.
Because pay to win, in a sense.
I mean, I'm not a big fan of that. But, I mean, it works. Clearly it works. Someone's paying it. I mean, I bought VC and I don't like it.
Destiny.
So sometimes they just rope you in sometimes, right? It's just...
It's going to be something there.
You know, something that you're looking at and you're like, why am I paying for this? But next week is like, this is 50% off. And your mind just goes, hey, it's 50% off. Get it now. Yeah. Get it now. So clearly it works if they made billions off of it.
Billions.
Yes. I'm sick to the stomach. But it's not going away. So what are you going to do? Bungie posted its development roadmap for 2018 for Destiny 2.
Okay.
In March, obviously, we talked about the buffing of exotic weapons. Exotics, they're introducing 6-on-6 PvP for the first time in Destiny 2.
PvP, 6-on-6. Kind of, well, it was already
in Crucible or something.
Yeah.
6-on-6.
It's like 4-on-4, so actually another two people?
Kind of like Destiny 1, right? When you're 6-on-6.
Yeah.
Yeah. They are introducing penalties for quitting Crucible matches. Season 3 starts in May, and they are introducing private Crucible matches, prestige mode for the raid Leviathan, Eater of Worlds, and the one you're excited about, Exotic Masterworks.
Oh, Exotic Masterworks. Okay.
Press X2.
Okay. Bring it on. Yes, the more the merrier. The more changes, I think, the better. So far the changes that they have made have been an improvement.
Right.
Add more, make it more of a reason to play. I personally play a lot of, when it comes to Destiny, especially in the first one, play a lot of Crucible.
Yeah.
So adding more people would be nice. I would like to see possibly a like classic mode, because I used to like the old setup where, you know, your secondary or your, what do they call them? you got your kinetic weapons, and then you got your energy weapons. Your energy weapons.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. When you had, like, your sniper rifle or your shotgun there, and it wasn't your heavy weapon. I wish they could kind of rebalance it back to the original, but that was my
only other thing.
Yeah, that is a big change. That's why I say, like, a whole classic mode, maybe.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Not like a permanent thing, but, yeah, like, yeah. Can we play, like, the old way?
See it as an event, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Probably a DLC.
Yeah. It'll be 50% off, and you have to buy it. Microtransactions. Yeah. Thank you for joining us. This has been episode 6 of D-Up Gaming Podcast. If you like this video, please give us a thumbs up and drop a comment below and let us know what you think about net neutrality. Share it with your friends and click subscribe and the bell next to it to stay up to date with our content. Hopefully we get something fairly soon from Jesse about the NBA.
There's tips coming. Video.
Great. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at @D_Up_Gaming. Once again, D-Up Gaming Podcast. This has been episode 6. I am Jeff.
I'm Jesse. And we are
D-Up. Okay. Thank you for listening to the D-Up Gaming Podcast. If you like our stuff, we're also on YouTube. So search us up with the keywords D-Up Gaming. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends, and follow us on Twitter at @D_Up_Gaming. This is Jeff from D-Up Gaming signing off. We hope to see you next time.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.